What you need to know in order to grow. Next on Sound Doctrine.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
So growing up, do you remember your parents charting your growth on the wall somewhere in the house? Little marks going up with dates beside it, right? Showing you how much you'd grown over the years. Well, today on Sound Doctrine, we'll learn that the same should happen in our spiritual development. Christians should be growing over time, and if we're not, well, there's something wrong. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson in 1 John chapter 2 with part 1 of a message he's called Christian Growth.
Again, we are continuing on Sunday mornings in 1 John. John is now a very older man. Not an old man, I don't want to say that. He's an older man. He's matured. He's writing because of what he has seen, what he's experienced, and now he's putting it down by the Holy Spirit to give it to us so we might learn thereby. So we're going to talk about Christian growth this morning, a very important subject. I was talking to an old guy this last week, and he says, you know that there are three stages to life? I said, yeah, why don't you tell me? What are these three stages to life? And he says, well, when you're a child, you believe in Santa Claus. And when you become a youth, you don't believe anymore. And then when you're older, you look like him. And I thought, well, okay. But when we're born, we're children. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Then I grew up, and I became into my youth. And I always ask this question, why is youth wasted on the young? I mean, because I was young once, believe it or not. And I wasted a lot of what God gave to me. Why is that? And then the older ones are sitting there going, give it to me. I need what you got. I got two neighbor kids that when they get out there, and they go. And they go all day long. And I'm amazed. They go from skateboarding to bike to skates. I mean, and then they go back around again. The energy of youth. It's incredible. But then you get to adulthood, and then you got people coming up to you saying, you look great. And you know it's about over. The final stage, you know, of life. Here, John is speaking about these three stages, but not that way, physically. He's talking about it spiritually, which is very interesting. Remember over in chapter 2 of 1 John, and in verse 1, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if you do, what do you mean? Well, you will sin. And then he gives us that whole beautiful sentence. We have a defense lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father. And I love that. But he's writing down, I'm writing this so that your relationship, I want you to understand, is revealed in not living in sin. I mean, you once lived in it. You practiced sin. And now you've come to the Lord, and a lot of that has subsided. And it's not by you. It's by you inviting him in. And he's changing you. But if you do sin, and you might as well say, when you sin, because you're going to sin again. That's just a fact. You have an advocate with the Father. You have 1 John 1:9. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, renewing us, restoring us. So John goes on. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 8. A new commandment I write unto you. And then he goes on and he says, because the darkness is past, it's passing, and the true light is now shining. He's talking, of course, of Christ. So this new commandment, which is really an old one that was given in the Old Testament, but he's renewing it. He's putting it up on the front shelf, if you will, that this is going to become a reality in your life. The light's come. The darkness, hatred is going to cease. It's not going to flow out of you anymore. Get back, you know, envy and this and that. And the darkness of the world is going to be taken from you. It's going to flee. I like 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. So we're going to begin to walk in that light. We're not going to be, as he said in verse 10, that stumbling block. We talked about that. Or verse 11, you're not going to be in darkness. You're not going to be blind anymore in chapter 2 of 1 John. So delivered from all of this. Now, verse 12, that's where we left off. 1 John 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I love this because he's saying, I'm writing to you, little born ones, you that just were born again, you that just came to know the Lord, you that are younger in the Lord. How many of you are younger than 1 year in the Lord? 1 year. You came to the Lord a while ago, almost a year. Raise it up. I want to see your hands. Okay, there's a number of you. How many are 5 years? Okay, you're 5 years old in the Lord, or younger. Okay, and so there's different age groups as we're moving along, and that's what John's going to be talking about. But here he talks about the little born ones, three stages spiritually. To as many as receive him, John says in John 1:12, to as many as receive Jesus, they have the power to become what? The children of God. To receive, to believe. What a comfort to come into a place to know that your sins are forgiven. That God doesn't hold anything against you anymore. You've just made your peace with God. There is no greater place to be in. You talk about happy. You talk about joyful. You talk about just going, wow, this is awesome. Why didn't I do this earlier in my life? Why was I so stubborn? I could have known that my sins are forgiven. My past, and this sins here, is past, present, and future for all of time. That's pretty powerful. That's amazing. He forgave me. He forgives me. He is forgiving me. All because of the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. And so we have been made just before God. Well, I always like to put it, just as you've never sinned. White as wool, white as snow. Before the Lord God Almighty, his holiness. Because you're standing in the Lord, covered in his blood, which is powerful. So it's a great place. I love how Peter puts it over in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll just read it to you. Write it down. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As a lamb? Remember, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. This is God's sacrificial lamb. This lamb is going to do what all those other lambs were, a shadow of what was coming. Once and for all, Jesus said, it is finished. It's paid in full. And notice, not only are we just, but the guilt is gone. You no longer have guilt and shame before God. It's been wiped out. There's something about that name. Notice he says there in 1 John 2:12, for his name's sake. There's something about that name, Jesus. There was a little girl who was afraid of the dark, and she didn't know what to do. She was crying out. All of a sudden, she remembered, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so she was thinking this darkness is going to wipe her out. She's going to perish. So she found the spot in her Bible, and to her, the darkness wasn't in the closet. You know how sometimes you're looking in the closet? There's somebody in there, you know? Kids, man, they can imagine incredible things. And her darkness was under the bed. She must have watched one of those crazy movies or something, you know? And it came out from under the bed. So she opened up her Bible at that spot, and she stuck it under the bed. And she said, Satan, you read it. And went back to sleep. I love that. Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Do you remember that story? That little story. They forgot the key word, you know, to open up the cave. And, of course, it was what? Open sesame. We only need Jesus. This is the name of names, for his name's sake. His name is wonderful. There's one name, there's one way. That's it. It's very simple. And it cuts Satan's chains that he has on your life. If you haven't made that decision, the blood of the Lamb is powerful. It will change your entire life. But as we grow, and here's John's thing is, as we grow and as we mature, we learn about deeper things. We learn about Exodus, and we go back to the Old Testament, finding out about this lamb that was slain. What a description there in Exodus. What an incredible story that took place as the angel of death passed over those homes that the blood was applied to the doors. So we grow in his grace and in his knowledge. Then on to Leviticus, and as we get into Leviticus, we start to understand the importance of sacrifice and how God had to send his son to be the once and for all sacrifice. I love this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, starting with verse 14, where Paul talks about this maturity. He says, but I want you to continue in the things which you have learned and that you have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. First of all, Jesus said, learn of me. Paul did that. And then he just passed along, as he was learning in Christ, the word of God and to the congregations that he spoke to. So steady on in those things. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so right there, we see Timothy was raised in a Christian family. He was raised on that foundation. No other foundation let it be laid but Jesus Christ and his word. And to knowing his word, parents raising their children in the ways of the Lord. Look what happens. They turn into being men and women of God, serving God no matter what field they go into. They're anointed of God, and they're witnesses for him. They're living epistles. That's what it's all about. And all scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be mature, may grow up, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so God gives us his word that we might grow strong and that we might be mature. At this time, Paul is around 40 years in ministry. You might say he's an older guy. Okay? 40 years. So I would say that that would be maturity. And when you've been around a number of years and you've seen it all, you've experienced everything this old world has got to throw at you, what Satan's got to throw at you, and you beheld the power of God's word and what it means to you in your life. Now, let's get back to the text, because John continues there in verse 13 at the very end of the verse. I'm not going to start at the beginning, because he's giving two examples of each one: the child, the youth, and the father. So the second example for youth is, I write unto you little children, verse 13, you call it C, because you have known the Father. The key to a child's maturity, to know your father. You know, there's a lot of kids without dads. That's a rough thing. Knowing your father, having a father to father you, is a very special thing. My dad was gone a lot. He wasn't a Christian man. He was very quiet, very gruff, just a hard-working man. I remember some of the good times, and it was usually when we would go down fishing. There's something special about a father and son fishing together. I remember not only fishing for trout, but over in Bolsa Chica for Corbina, and those were special times, but there were very, very few. To know your father, and we're talking about an intimacy here, an intimate knowledge of your father. Here he's talking about our heavenly father. Over in John's gospel in chapter 17, this is in John 17, verse 3, he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, Jesus said, the only true God, the only true Father that there has ever been or ever will be, the Lord God, Father God. But then he goes on to say, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that we might have intimate knowledge of our Father, that we might spend time with him and him with us and his Son. There is a special scripture, you might jot it down in Ezekiel 47, where Ezekiel has this vision from God of God's presence coming off of the holy mountain of God and from the altar of God and coming down, and he finds himself in this river of water. And it first starts out with his feet. So it's talking about the normal Christian walk, or the normal Christian maturity, if you will. That there are, you know, those signs of maturity. And so you first put your feet in the Lord. You step out in faith and you receive Christ. You don't understand what it's all about. You don't know what's going on, but you just go ahead and say, hey, I'm missing something in my heart. I got a void that I can't fill. It just is nagging and it's always there. I'm willing to do this. Okay, I'll give Jesus a chance. And so you open your heart up. You take a step of faith and you find your feet in the flow of God's Spirit. And then it comes up to his knees, it says. And Ezekiel was asked, have you seen this, Ezekiel? Have you experienced this? And the knees speak of prayer. And so you start to pray and you start to really ask God to just be with you and do little things. And as a young child, boy, you just behold your father answering your prayers. You get excited. God answers prayer. God is faithful. And he is to his children. And you get excited about that. And then it comes up to his waist, he says. You check it out this afternoon before you eat lunch. Do Ezekiel 47 and read that. The first few verses there, it's just interesting. It's a flow. The waist is the productive area. And so as you get older in the Lord, you realize, you know, I need to tell somebody about what he's done for me. And you share your faith and people come to the Lord. And you're able to pray with those that are hurting. And you're able to lead them to the Lord yourself. You don't need, you know, come to church and have a preacher do it. We're out there in the highways and byways in the marketplace, and we're there to be lights. And you're going to find yourself then making disciples and in your own family and taking them and discipling them and making sure they understand they need to start doing some things consistently. And you help them, so up to the waist. But then he says, all of a sudden, I found myself up to my neck in this flow. And again, he was asked, have you seen this before, Ezekiel? Have you got to this maturity yet? Have you really allowed yourself to just be filled with the Holy Spirit and just get into it and relax and just Let the Lord move you along. Don't fight it. Hey, man, this is a move of God. This is the Spirit of the Lord. Just let go and let God. Up to his neck. His whole being is not even seen. Just his head's poking up. So very important as we mature in the Lord and go this way. Now, in 1 Peter 2:2, it's neat what Peter says about this child. He says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Now, if you don't desire the good stuff, the milk, you're not going to grow. So maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you need to get some counsel. Maybe, you know, there's something you just don't, you're not doing it like you know you should. And you're backing off from it. You're not growing. And it's you're getting to a dangerous stage because you've got to start growing. You've got to start underlining your Bible, going to more Bible study. Or you're just going to wither away and the enemy's going to come and take that seed away. And you're going to be ripped off. And you're going to end up in, you know, behind that barbed wire, just a skinny lamb that hasn't been taken care of. And that Satan, you know, he doesn't care about his flock. He leads them astray, that's for sure. Lets them go their own way. Yeah. He destroys them. He's not the good shepherd. The good shepherd has milk for us. That is growth. And we need it so desperately. Everybody needs milk, right? And especially in Christ.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message by my Saba, my grandpa, Pastor Jeff Johnson, the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel Downey. To listen to more messages by Pastor Jeff, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or download the app Sound Doctrine Podcast on the App Store. God bless you.
At Sound Doctrine, we're committed to teaching God's Word, verse by verse, but we can't do it alone. We rely on the Lord and the faithful support of our listeners as we come to you day by day. And if you'd like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request Pastor Jeff's book, An Exhortation from the Shepherd's Heart. This is a commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. The Apostle Paul wrote a personal letter to two pastors that he personally instructed, loved, and planted churches with. We have that privilege to read these wonderful exhortations in God's Word. Now, Pastor Jeff wrote this commentary from the perspective of a shepherd with a heart for future pastors. It contains helpful commentary, illustrations, and detailed application as well. Get a copy by going online to sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on the store. Or we can take your request when you call 800-353-7553. And please, if you would, include a little extra to help us continue this radio ministry on your station. Well, as we return now to Pastor Jeff, he speaks of the third stage of Christian growth.
Now, notice verse 13, the beginning of verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. So all of a sudden, he changes from children to now fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. The third stage, fathers. You've been around a while, you fathers. The more you know him and you're learning this, the more you can trust him. From the beginning. I mean, you've been around where you've seen a lot of things. Paul's prayer was in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the suffering, that I might, the fellowship of the suffering, that I might understand from the power of the resurrection to the fellowship of the suffering, that it's all a part of the intimacy. It's all a part of trusting God. It's all a part of just growing up in the things of God so you can be a father to those around you. And some of you are in this time of your life. This is what makes one a father in Christ. I remember the testimony of Parley Kopp. Parlikop is the one of the church fathers that they told him to renounce the Lord or we're going to kill you. And he says, I'm not going to do that. They said, okay, we're going to burn you at the stake. And the guys that went up to him and said, Polycarp, come on, you're an 85-year-old man. Why don't you just renounce Jesus and live your life out? You didn't want to go this way. And Polycarp looked at these guys and said, listen, my Lord has been faithful to me for 85 years. And I am going to never renounce the Lord. Go ahead, take my life. You're going to usher me right into the presence of the Lord. Go for it, guys. Interesting. He knew. He was a father. Longevity. He'd been around.
More about Christian growth and maturity next time on Sound Doctrine when Pastor Jeff continues our studies of 1 John. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father, won't you